God, please have your will be done today with everything, Lord, and please have it not be me who speaks, but you who speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen. I was at the men's meeting this meeting for the first time this morning, and the topic of healing got brought up because, you know, people are asking for prayer for healings and specific things and stuff like that. So, I just had a few thoughts I wanted to share, and I didn't feel like I had an opportune time to share it then, so I'd like to share it now. I was reading recently in Acts chapter 4, starting verse 23, the apostles, or Paul and John, I think it is, healed a blind man who was over 40 years old and who was blind since his mother's womb. And starting in verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own companions and reported, verse 24. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. And they keep going on, and in verse 30, it says, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. I believe we should be living, or drawing closer and closer to a point where Jesus is living in us. And I don't just mean that in a word sense of, he'll always be my heart, or, something like that. Like, really actually come out in action. Like, it means something. So, Jesus did tremendous amounts of healing and never turned anyone away who wanted to be healed. So, they're asking to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Verse 3. By stretching out your hand to heal. So, Jesus left, but he's living through us. So, if Jesus can heal, we can't. I don't necessarily mean everyone has the gift of healings, but we can come to a place where we do, right? He should be living through us. And so, if someone came to Jesus and asked for a healing, someone should be able to come to us and ask for a healing. Not that it's about us, but that God may be glorified, as someone mentioned earlier. Someone this morning brought up Paul and about how, he had a thorn in the flesh. And I believe he's the only one in the whole Bible, other than those who were, like, tortured or killed that way, who had something from God that God wanted them to have, right? Now, I don't want to speak against anyone here, okay? But I just think about it this way, Paul, he had that to humble him because he was so given such an abundance of revelations and things, and all the miracles and stuff. But, we never hear of Peter having a thorn in the flesh. We never hear of the apostles. There's only one person who got to such a high point where they needed that. That unless we get to that high of a point, I don't think we should be sick. Okay, so. Someone mentioned about, what about people who are, born with the sickness or things? And they mentioned that, that they didn't sin. And that's right. They probably didn't. If they're born, how could they? They couldn't sin. But in the same account about stretching out your hand to heal, the man who they healed was born blind. But he was healed for God's glory. So, someone mentioned this morning about it's interesting that Jesus just commanded, let's see if I get the account here. Peter to come out in the water when Jesus was walking in the water. And so, but the reason for that, I believe, is because if we turn to Matthew 14, verse 25. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And as when his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out of the water." So Peter asked Jesus to command him to come out to the water, which is a miracle, right? I mean, you just can't naturally walk on water, right? So he's asking Jesus to do it. And then, so he said, verse 29, so he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So he asked for it, or he asked Jesus, "Tell me to do this." Jesus told him to do it. He did it. He walked on the water. He had it. He had the miracle. But when he saw, in verse 30, but when he saw that the wind was something, and he was afraid and began to sink, he cried out, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." So then he, I imagine he's, looking around, and I'm not quite sure what it looked like, but, he's somehow on the water, standing on the water. I don't know if it's wavy underneath his feet or not, but I don't know how it all works, but I imagine there's waves around them, and so he sees it. He sees what in the world's eyes is a disaster, a crazy situation, life-threatening, definitely. And he was afraid. And then he began to sink. So, and then Jesus, and then verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" So, I find it interesting here that he told Peter, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" But he didn't tell anyone else. I mean, the rest of the disciples didn't even ask for it. They weren't told to, and they didn't walk on the water. But he asked for it. He was told to. He started to, and then he doubted. And then Jesus tells him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" So let's believe when we pray for healing that we're going to receive it. Unless we're at such a place where, like Paul, we're given an actual answer from God, "No, my grace is sufficient for you," or I don't remember quite how he phrased it, but something like that. But if we're not that place yet, then we should be healed. And someone this morning brought up that someone was struggling with a mental thing. And I don't believe it's the Lord's will that anyone, no matter how close you are to God, has a mental issue. Even Paul. Because, as my dad mentioned this morning, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of peace and of a sound mind. And also, just leave it at that. I don't believe the Lord would have us to live in agony. I don't. That's not to say we won't be persecuted, which may not be fun. It may be painful. That's not to say, bad things will happen to us, but, God has promised, or Jesus has said that he's our physician, and he's a really good one, I don't believe it's the Lord's will that we're in agony or pain. Paul, it sounds like, had a problem with his eyesight. That may have gotten in the way a little bit, but I don't believe it was painful, and Paul himself rejoiced in it. that he might stay humble. Well, those are all the thoughts I have to share. But, yeah.
I just want to follow that with something that we actually had a Bible study over recently, talking about faith. Brian Ingram's not here today, but we got together one day, and we talked about, like, what does it mean to exercise our faith, and how do we really do that? Because what we're talking about here is faith. You know, it's not the prayer that works. It's the faith that we have behind it. It's how much we truly believe it. You know, Jesus says, if we believe what we've prayed for without doubt, you know, if we believe that we've received it, it will be ours. And so we discussed, you know, okay, well, how do we practically build our faith? Because we can't just jump from, you know, we use the analogy, Brian likes to lift weights a lot, but we use the analogy, you know, if you're just now starting out weightlifting, you can't just jump on a bench and bench 300 pounds. That's not going to happen. And so we need to build our faith in the same practical way. And we exercise that faith. And what we talked about in our Bible study was essentially the metaphorical weights when it comes to our faith are our fears, the natural fears that we have. And we can approach them and confront them little by little. We take the little five-pound fears that we have and try to lift those. And we ask God for the strength to do that. And we use faith. So I'm going to read this little portion that we came to together. Is about resistance training. It's just, when you see a weight, like a fear, go at it. We train our physical muscles not by avoiding weights, but by deliberately spending our time and energy to lift them, so our muscles will be stronger and better prepared for times when heavy things hit us outside of our control, or to help others whenever they need to move heavy things. You know, that's what it's all about. Now, we should exercise our faith muscles the same way, by deliberately confronting things we're afraid of, things that may appear heavy, scary, or daunting, or things that we just may not think that we have the natural power to lift. And just like in weightlifting and weight training, you can't just start where you're at, like I mentioned, and deadlift 500 pounds. You need to start small, lifting lighter loads so you progressively reach your goal, handling the big thing. And so we talked about, you know, spending time alone with the Lord, some practical things that I feel like have helped me build my faith. Spending time alone with the Lord, you know, spending time alone is not something that we naturally want to do. It's something that we're kind of, all right, I'm just going to go and spend time and, you know, just have everybody around me that I can. But God wants to set aside time specifically for him and devote that to him. That we don't have to be afraid whenever he's in our presence. The second thing was to confront people gently. We're afraid of confrontation naturally. And then the third one was to pray specific prayers and trust them in his hands. And this is the biggest, probably the biggest faith builder that I have noticed happen in my life. I'll start with something small, a small change that I want to see happen, and I'll pray for it. I'll pray about it. And God has, there's been instances where I truly believe God has answered one of my prayers immediately for people's healing. And I wasn't even in that room. But it was because God had given me a profound divine belief that it had already happened. I can't explain it to you. Like, it's nothing in me that happened, but I prayed the prayer and I just had a confidence. I just stopped praying. I was like, God, you're taking care of it. I got up and kept on moving about my day. And I got a text immediately, like within the minute, that the prayer had been answered. It was amazing. And it was just things like that that build our faith and give us the strength in our faith to continue to progressively get stronger in our faith. And then we can tackle these bigger issues. And it's nothing that we don't need to condemn ourselves for not having the big faith to lift these big heavy things right now, you know. So I just wanted to say that to encourage each and every one of us. You know, we can have a practical faith and, you know, start where you're at. Start where you're at and have God help me to lift these little things that I have right now, and help me to give me the faith to believe that I know you can take the small things, I know you can handle the big things, I know you can raise Jesus from the dead, you can resurrect bodies, you know. So why can't I believe you can lift these little things? So let's just start small, start where we're at, and trust God with the big things. And another thing that I like to believe too is, even if he doesn't immediately conclude the problem, every time we pray, he immediately initiates the process. Immediately. Every time his angels are sent into motion, miracles are at work, and we can have faith in that, and that the outcome will come to pass in his time. That's all I wanted to share. And the outcome's always good. Always good.
Praise the Lord. I'm in no way prepared. Did not anticipate getting up this morning, but the Lord, he'll prepare me, even though I don't have much time. Trying to see where I should start here. Let's go to John 14. I'm going to read out of there in verse 11. I read this earlier in the men's meeting. I believe everyone here, we believe that the Lord, he's real. Amen. Everybody can testify to that. We believe that he created the world. You know, he created all of us. The next question, do you believe that he can heal today? Amen. Do you believe that he can set the captive free today? It's the stuff that happened then didn't end. In verse 11, this is Jesus talking. He says, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves." So he's, in my mind, when I read that this morning, Jesus didn't turn a person away when they came to him for healing. He proved that he was, the Spirit was in him, that he was Jesus, he was God, and he healed them. That was the works, I believe, is what he is referring to here. He says, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing." We all said we believe in him. May the Lord increase our faith. "And they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." And, of course, he sent his Holy Spirit back down that the Holy Spirit would be in us, and we can do the things that he did. It says, "I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." And I'm repeating myself from this morning, but again, it's so the Father may be glorified in the Son. It's not so a person would get any credit or glory. It's Jesus. It's Christ. He again, is the one that can do this work for us. "You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." In Mark 5, I want to read something there too. But I do have a small testimony. I put it on Facebook, so if you're on there, you're hearing it again. But earlier this week, well, actually a few weeks ago, our refrigerator went out, and it wasn't cooling. And so I, of course, got back there and cleaned it up, and it started working for a while, but I took the credit. And I was like, you know, I fixed the refrigerator, honey. But I actually prayed to the Lord at that point that he would give me the knowledge to do it, which was just cleaning dust off. But anyway, after a few weeks of it working, or maybe a week, it stopped working again. And the Lord revealed to me it's because I tried to take the credit. So I said, I prayed on Tuesday. It was the fridge was not working for 3 days. Our stuff was thawing out. And I said, "Lord, I can call someone to fix this." Or I said, "I have faith. I believe that you can fix this." And, of course, like a few hours after that prayer, the fridge is working. This was on Tuesday, and it's still working great. I mean, it's colder than it ever was before. So that is funny, but if the Lord cares enough, and I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, if you will help, if you will fix this fridge." I had nothing to do with it. I literally just said, "Lord, it's in your hands." I said, "You can send an angels to fix it. You know, however, whatever method, you can just snap your fingers and fix it." But he did. He answered that prayer. And my thought behind that was, how much more does he care to see people healed, people delivered from anxiety, people delivered from addictions? How much more does he care about that? And I mean, this week, I think last week, I had some back pain, and I had a really bad headache. And I asked Kendall to pray for me. And literally, within a few minutes, the back pain was gone. And within a few hours, that headache was gone. And also, last Monday morning, the Lord, he's putting us through these tests, so we will look to him. And again, Kendall prayed, but it's because she believes in this. And the word says those that believe in me, these signs will follow them. They will heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons, spirits. But anyway, last Monday, I woke up with a really bad earache, just ringing in my ear. And I came to her, and I was like, can you pray for me? And we both came against it together, prayed for healing, and I was healed within a few hours. And used to, I would have to like go to the doctor and get on an antibiotic for a week and then be healed. Well, not really healed, but the medicine, I was relying on that. And there may be some times where that is the case. I do know we're in a broken world, as been brought out this morning. We do go through some trials. There's a little cold in my house right now with my kids, so I'm not saying, I don't want to sound like I'm in a ditch again. But in Mark 5, I was reminded of this. Let's see. It's in verse 38. This is when someone came to, I can't remember his name, but he came to Jesus and asked him. He said that his daughter was sick and said, can you come pray for her? And of course, he's on the way. And then someone came to him and said, well, actually, she's already died. So basically, there's no reason to come. And then in 36, it says, overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, don't be afraid, just believe. What if we just believe this morning? How much manifestation would we see if we just believed? He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion, with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and he said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. My Lord, help us not to laugh at your word. Help us to stand on your word, the things that it says. It says, after he put them all out. So he put them all out because they're laughing at him. I mean, they didn't have faith to see that he could heal this girl. So it was explained to me in a video I watched that you don't want to, both parties need to have faith, but if one party, the party who's praying over the person, has faith, that other person can still be healed. And that's not the person, but it's Christ working through them, only because they are believing. But anyway, he put them all out of the house. And then, of course, he prayed for this child, and she was brought back from the dead. It says, immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. At this, they were completely astonished. Praise God. Janet, you asked for prayer this morning for that cough, right? Would you like the elders? I'm willing to pray too. I mean, would you like to come up? I don't know. I don't know what somebody might be going through. But I do have faith to see them healed. It's happened in my life. Would the elders come up? I know you have faith, elders, but if you believe the Lord's given you faith to see someone healed, I don't even think it's God, and it may not have to be an elder. Brother Jeff, would you mind? I trust this is the Lord, guys. I don't want to move myself. But I want to be submitting to his will.
Yes, I just leaned over and told him to have a prayer.
He's gone. Let me step down, guys. I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but if you feel the Lord would have you be prayed for, if you want to come up, if you believe. Daddy, how's your knee? Is it feeling better? All right. Okay. Let's not. We don't want to get in the form, but we need to believe, and we need to see the Lord do a work. And I was reading in Acts the other day, and Paul, he was bitten by a snake, and he shook it off, and it didn't hurt him. It was poisonous, it even says. But everyone, he was on an island, they just got shipwrecked. But everyone that saw that didn't bother him, that first they said, well, he's a god. But of course that wasn't right. It was Christ. And anyway, when everyone saw it, it gave them faith to believe that there is a healing power. Christ came, he by his stripes we are healed. And so when they all saw that, they then got the faith, and they come to Paul, and he laid hands on them, and then they were healed as well. I said everyone on the island was healed. Everyone. There wasn't one person according to the scripture. Are we going to stand on the word, or are we going to get in our religious form and say, well, this doesn't happen today? I don't want to come across as angry, because I'm not, but the Lord, he's given me this burden, and he's given me a burden not just for healing, but to see people set free. He's shown me in multiple ways that he would have me do this. And this is the last place I want to be standing. But I want him to get all the glory. And when people are healed and delivered, they will then have a testimony. They can then go out and tell the world, I've been healed. I've been delivered from alcohol. I've been delivered from tobacco. I've been delivered from pornography. The Lord is here. Elders, if you have, I know you have faith. Come back up, if you will.
Y'all want to pray for one time for each person? Thank you.
it's not me and it's not the elders. Christ is here.
Amen.
Holy Spirit.
Amen.
See if anybody else? Got migraines, anxiety. Don't let the devil tell you that you can't be set free.
Praise God.
Jason.
Yeah.
The Lord revealed to me many years ago that I have a gift of healing.
Yeah.
Let the men know it. But I didn't have faith for many years. And Brother Thomas told me, he said, if you don't have the faith to pray for anyone, don't you pray for them.
Right.
And for years, I didn't. But my faith has grown in a tremendous way. And I praise God for it all. But everybody knows it now.
Praise God. Let's just continue to pray for our faith to be increased. The Lord I don't believe this is the end. The devil wouldn't want to make it look like that, but let's keep looking to him. I believe this is the what the church is here for, one of the reasons.
This is probably more of a confession, because I don't want to walk out of here and not be honest. I'm struggling a little bit this morning, and I guess my own experiences, even when it comes to healing, I've been touched by the Lord at times where it was so instant and so pure, it could only have been Him. But there's also times where He's done a deeper healing, and it was through suffering. It wasn't free from suffering, it was in suffering. And, I know Paul's been mentioned a lot, and we had our men's meeting this morning. A lot of good things came out, and one of the things that when Ben started speaking, he said, we need to have a balance. And we do need to have a balance. What we need is the Holy Spirit. What we need is God's direction. Because in every situation, with every individual, every problem, every sickness, every issue, every demonic attack, that person is an individual and needs the Lord to meet them where they're at. Present tense. He's an ever-present help in time of need. But the thing of it is, our needs are different. There may be somebody here, this is why I'm saying this, there may be somebody here that's gone through a particular illness for decades and wondering why God hasn't healed them and feeling condemned because they still have that affliction. It is some people's lot in this life to suffer. I will tell you, I had an injury over 20 years ago. I fell on a chainsaw on my left wrist. And my hand was pretty much just hanging off. And, that was painful. When you sever major nerves and arteries, and nerves are what get you. That's what the pain is. And they worked on me for like 9 hours. I went through a lot of pain. And I tell you what, I didn't like it. I didn't want it. And, but I had been experiencing, and this is where it gets into healing, the Lord touching people. First of all, when I came home from the hospital, I had so many drugs in my system. I mean, you name it. I mean, there's a list of, drugs that they give you, morphine, and the other one's stronger than that. And I had gone out. I felt like I couldn't breathe. And my wife was inside getting ready for bed. It was real late at night. And I went, I'm saying this because I know God touches and heals. I know that it's His will to heal and to touch, but I do not believe that in every situation is necessarily God's will. There may be something greater accomplished through suffering than actual physical healing. And so I want to have a balance here this morning, because if we all come up here because we have an ache or a pain, it may not be God's will to heal us. It may be that we suffer. It says we bear in this, our body, in these jars of clay, the suffering of the Lord Jesus. How much did He suffer? We're delivered unto death. And so it's not always rosy. That doesn't mean he doesn't do physical healing, because obviously he did. And again, I'm getting up here, and y'all can judge my spirit. I'm getting up here because I want to be free in my spirit to express my heart. And if I'm struggling with something, I want to say it. I'm not going to just go hide behind something and talk about it when I leave here. I want to be able to be honest. But back to my situation, how I saw the Lord help me, I started not being able to breathe. And it was like midnight, and I was walking around the driveway, and I was thinking about calling somebody. I can't breathe anymore. And I was trying to suck in air, and I went inside, and I started walking upstairs because I'm thinking I can't breathe. And I called to my wife, and I said, "Honey, we got to pray. I'm losing the ability to breathe." And so she came running in there. We held hands and we prayed, and I felt what happened was it was like a warmth came from my head and went all the way down to my feet, and it was like, and air came back in. That was the Lord. He touched me. But guess what? I had nerve pain. It was so bad that I would suffer sleep deprivation for years. I had problems, I mean physical problems with my hand, and it was about 13 months in, and I told Shelly, I said, "You know what, I got so many problems. I'm exhausted, I'm in pain," and I remembered the verse in the Bible where it talks about asking the elders to lay their hands on you and pray for you. And I said, "Well," I said, "I've got nothing else to do. Nothing else has worked. I've been taking painkillers for so long, and they're not doing the trick." And so it was the word says, if you have faith, it's a grain of a mustard seed. It didn't say something this big or as big as an elephant, a grain. Jesus said, you pray and the mountain can be removed. And I thought, well, gosh, at least I have a grain. I believe I do have a grain. And so I came to the service that night, and I went and I maybe talked to some of the elders, and I said, "I want y'all to pray for me. I got a problem." And they put some oil on my head, and Phil told me, he said, "You know, don't expect thunder and lightning." That's what he told me. You know how he is. You don't just trust the Lord. Just go by the faith he's given you to come up here in the first place, and just leave it in the Lord's hands. Don't limit him or have a certain expectation that you think it has to be instant or otherwise. Well, that's what I did. They prayed for me. I went home. I didn't have any immediate changes. But, you know, it was years later, I was talking to the Lord, and I said, "You know, Lord, I don't know if you really healed me." And I instantly had this thought. I was able to do everything with my hand that I had before I injured it. The Lord had restored my hand. But what had happened in the process of those years of suffering, God did a work in me. And so I don't want the picture of healing and this and that to where we get rid of all our aches and pains to take precedence over the work that the God will do in our heart. And if he chooses suffering, there's people here I know that have suffered. Laura Rhodes back there has suffered. She's a precious sister. And there's many others. You look at, what's her name, Joni? The lady that has been paralyzed in a wheelchair. She has reached more people through her suffering than most of us will ever reach when we're healthy. Because when we bear in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, what is killed and what needs to be killed is this flesh. We have not received our glorified bodies. And one of the things that Ben said this morning, he said, no matter who you are, I don't care how strong of a Christian you are, one day your body's going to fail. And you're going to die. You remember Elijah, who did more than Elijah? When that king came to see him and they beat the arrows on the floor, do you remember that? He said, Elijah, now Elijah was in the bed with the sickness that he would die of. He was a man of faith, but something got him. And he didn't get mad at God. He was bedridden, pretty much. He was in the bed. Right? I'm going to read this one verse because as we've been talking, This is something that Paul said to Timothy. And now, the wine part, maybe you can just forget that part. But 1 Timothy 5:23. This is the NIV. Stop drinking only water and use a little wine because your stomach and your frequent illnesses. Timothy was a man of God and Paul was a man of God, and he didn't pray that these illnesses leave. Was there something in these illnesses that kept Timothy low, that he might be an instrument before God? NLT says this, don't drink only water. You ought to drink a little wine for the sake of your stomach because you are sick so often. I don't know what the end of Timothy's life was, but I know that the Lord can use physical suffering and sickness to do a deeper work in our heart. And so if that's the case, I am all for, believe me, our daughter was healed. She was healed. People prayed, and she was healed. And when she went, she was a preemie, and she'd been on that ventilator. And when she went back to, I guess it was the pediatrician or somebody, and they read the chart and said, they got your chart wrong. If she was a preemie and she was on a ventilator, there'd be scar tissue in her lungs, and there's no scar tissue. God healed her. Yes. Plain and simple. He's touched me. I've seen him heal people. But I don't want anybody to leave here who has some physical ailment that God has allowed you to go through to even help you in your trust and faith toward him. If he takes that and he uses that, he is to be praised. None of us here have a glorified body. That's why we're all heading toward the grave. The older people are getting older. The younger people are getting older. And some of us are this far away from dropping right on in there. That's real positive, isn't it? What do you say, Donald? Speak for yourself? Yeah, yeah. We have a promise of a glorified body. And when Jesus comes back with that trumpet and says, rise, and the people come out of the ground, guess what? There won't be any more aches. There won't be any more death, because the one who died for us first has risen from the dead. And he does have the power. I tell you, the greatest miracle of all is to be raised from the dead spiritually. That's the greatest miracle, is to be raised from the dead spiritually. And he has the authority to forgive sin. He has the authority to tell us, get up from your life of sin. I have healed you. I died for you. Get up. Come to me. Serve me. Give your life to me. I have everything you need. But I'll be honest with you, I kept struggling a little bit. And I know that at times for me, the even physical suffering that I have gone through has been exactly what the doctor ordered. Dr. Jesus ordered it for me. Because this flesh is rotten to the core. This flesh, I mean, there's only so much. How can you fix it? It was Jesus fixed it. He fixed it at the cross, and not only that, we die in corruption. We're raised incorruptible in the power of God, even our bodies. You know, if we love Jesus and we believe in him, we'll never die. But there's a new body coming one day. And, you know, I hope I haven't offended anybody here or said anything wrong, but there is a balance in Scripture. There's a balance in Scripture, and we need, that someone said this early this morning, we just want to be led of the Lord. Ain't that something? We need to be led of the Lord, but we need to be led of the Lord in each individual case, each individual life. There were several prayer requests that were made this morning, and each one, I noticed this, each one was unique. There's only one answer to each one, the intercessor, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Because sometimes we don't even know how to pray or what to pray. But when we come to that throne of grace, he's got everything we need. He was clothed in this flesh to the point where he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You know? And so I know he, not only does he care, he has the power to do something about it. And each one, as we go before the Lord with our need, we can rest assured and we can be confident that he has what we need, regardless of what that is. So again, I want to be transparent, you know. Someone talked about putting on the belt of truth. I don't want to put another belt on. I want to put on the belt of truth and say, I've confessed what's on my heart. I wanted to say what I wanted to say, and but I know Jesus is the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has that same power. He has the power to actually raise someone physically from the dead. He's still that same Jesus. But anyway, I felt like I needed to say that. I felt like I was holding too much inside, so I didn't want to go back to West End and not share what was on my heart. So here we go. Yes.
I need to do better.
I'll give you mine after service. As skinny as you're getting, I think it'll fit. But don't ask for my pants, because you're a lot taller than I am.
Amen. Praise God. Appreciate the bounce in the Lord, don't you? I was just thinking of an incident. I was thinking about Brother Mike Marshall. How many people love Mike Marshall? A lot of people here loved him, didn't you? I remember being on a fishing trip with Mike Marshall when he was sick. He loved to fish, and we had a couple opportunities to take him fishing at Santee Cooper. And I remember Matt, of course, was driving the boat. That's Matt's job, plus many other things. But Mike was sitting right here in another seat, and I was standing right beside him, right behind Mike. And I was praying for Mike. I had my hand on his shoulder. We were riding, and I was like, Lord, I said, you could heal this brother if you wanted to heal him. And the Lord, you know, he had another choice for Brother Mike, didn't he? And I always kind of questioned God there for a while, but then as after the Lord took him home, I began to see how the Lord began to work in his family and stuff. I said, you know what? God had a bigger purpose than Mike Marshall's life. And he could have healed Mike, couldn't he? Yeah. Definitely. But God had a purpose because he was more concerned for Mike's family and others that were around him. And that spoke volumes to me. And the Lord helped me be able to see that, you know what? God's plans are higher. His ways are higher than our ways. There is gifts of healing. I do believe that with all my heart, and I've been a part of that experience. And I was thinking of a scene that touched me in The Chosen. I know a lot of y'all watched The Chosen series. I don't know if y'all remember, I can't remember who it was. I was thinking it was Thomas, but it was one of the disciples that came to him, and he had a lame walk. Y'all remember that scene? And he went up to the Lord. And the Lord, let me go back just a second. The Lord had gone and healed many people before that. And this disciple went up to him and he said, why won't you heal me? And the Lord looked at him and he said, I love you. He said, but don't you understand that the Lord is going to use you in such more of a greater way, the way you are, than being healed, than me healing you. Man, of all the scenes in that movie, that stuck out to me in my heart. And we go through afflictions. I've been through some things, and I trust God with them. But the things I've been through, God might not have healed me or whatever, but he's been able to use those situations to help others. I don't know. That's just my heart. And I just appreciate the Lord this morning. Appreciate what Brother Steve said. I believe it was a balance. I believe there is healing, but I do believe God's plans are greater and higher than ours. And anyway, I just wanted to share that. Praise God.
I do appreciate this, too, this morning. You know, the thing is that we tend to get hung up on a lot of times is, and this is true, and it manifests in so many different ways, but the fact is we tend to get hung up on a lot on this life. God's purpose is not just about this life. Now, it does include it. It is involved, but that's not his real purpose. His purpose is an eternal purpose. And there are things that happen in this world that don't have to do so much with this world as they do with things in the next, because that's what it's really about. And when we get entirely hung up on this life and evaluating everything by how things are going here, we miss the big picture. That's what Jesus was always doing, is his eyes were on, what did he say? I'm here to do, I must be about my Father's business, right? That was his mentality, and that was an eternal purpose. You know, I was thinking about this, there's a scripture here in Hebrews, where it's talking about, you know, all the heroes of faith and going through all many things that faith led people to be able to experience and to do, great victories that were won. But then, of course, it goes through a list of all of other people who didn't experience great victories. They experienced torture and death and all kinds of other persecution and different things. But he says here toward the end, he says, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Okay, so how can somebody have faith then and not have received something that's been promised? Because God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. So you got somebody who's got faith, and there's something that God's promised, and they haven't received it yet, and the purpose isn't even about them. It's about somebody else. It's about God's eternal purpose, that big picture that he is working toward of what he created all this for in the first place, which is to have a family that lives with him, and it will be paradise. This world will be gone. Death is an intruder in this world. Corruption, it was led in by man. It was led in by our choice, and we've been living under the yoke of it ever since. And as God's people, we don't escape every touch of the sin and death of this world. Obviously, God has to save us just like he has to save anybody else, and even after we're saved, it's a lifetime of learning to come to him. In 1 Peter, he says this, 1 Peter chapter 4, he says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with this same attitude, because, and this goes to what Steve, I thought about the scripture when Steve was talking about his accident with the chainsaw, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. So you can't tell me that there's never any occasion where any form of suffering in the body can't have a purpose in eternal godly purpose. It can. It doesn't mean it's that way every time. And it's good. We absolutely need the balance. We need to be exhorted to take God at his word. We need to be exhorted to have faith, to believe what he says in his word, because it is all too easy and common to get into a place where we don't claim the things and live with the things that God has purchased for us. We need to believe him. But God has to do that work to bring a person to the place where they have the faith for that. We can't draw all that out of people. You know, Phil has talked about before about giving invitations, and we need to be led of the Lord in that. It doesn't mean there's never a time for it, but we also need to do that in a way that tries to draw it out of people when they're not ready yet, when God hasn't brought them to that place yet. Same thing with healing. You can get together and try to have a big healing thing and drawing people up here. It needs to be God putting that on people's hearts to reach out in faith for that. Because, you know, the scripture says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If we try to guilt or pressure or condemn people into doing something that they don't really feel in their heart, but they're, well, I guess I'll have to, or I guess they're saying I should, that's not what God wants. We need to let him lead, because when he leads, it'll be perfectly peaceful. It'll be real, and his spirit will be there. You know, there's a phrase that's always interesting to me. It's always jumped out at me. I think it's in Luke 5, I think. I'm trying to remember now. Let me take a quick look here if that's where it is. Yeah, okay, so this is where Jesus healed the paralytic man. Jesus was there teaching. It was the occasion where they couldn't get to him through the crowd, so they let him down the roof. But before that, he's talking about setting the scene there, talking about where he was, and he was preaching. And he says, they had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Now, why would he need to say that? Isn't that just a given that the power of the Lord was always present with Jesus to heal the sick? Why would he put that phrase in there? Because on that occasion, that was the word of God. That was the purpose of God, was for healing to be a part of the message. But at all times, healing is not the message. You know that? You know, the message of the gospel is not come and get your sickness healed or your body healed. That's not the message. The message is come and get your soul healed. You remember when the 10 lepers came to Jesus, and they all had leprosy, and all of them came to Jesus. All of them called him Lord. All of them asked what to do. And when he told them something that really, according to the law, it didn't really make any sense, they all went in faith and did it. And as they went, they were healed. But only one of them came back to give glory to God and to worship at Jesus' feet. And what did he tell him? He said, your faith has made you well. Your faith has healed you. Why didn't he say, all 10 of you's faith has healed all 10 of you? Because none of them didn't really get healed. That healing in the body yeah, that's fine. It would prolong their life. But what good is that when the purpose, the real big picture, is the eternal purpose? And that man had come into possession of that kind of life. He had been healed forever. And that's what the message of the gospel is. That's what we're preaching. That's we don't preach ourselves. We preach Christ and Him crucified. And that's the message. And I believe God can help us, and He wants to grow our faith. That's part of the purpose of this morning, is for people, you know, people are asking for prayer. God, we have, God give us the faith and the belief to claim it and to do as He has given us to do, because He is a great physician. And I know many people here have experienced that. But it is not every purpose, every time, everywhere, for every purpose in every situation. That's the only answer and the only pattern. It's not what we see in the scriptures, and it's not what I have seen in the lives of many, many, many of God's people that I have witnessed, that I have seen the Lord in their life and know how He worked in their life, know how much they love the Lord, and that wasn't the path for them just because of what it said in Hebrews. There was a better purpose, and it had to do with the eternal purpose. That's the balance that I think God wants to give us. And wants us to have that faith and believe, and as He teaches us and gives us that faith, to respond. But in the meantime, in the process, you know what we have to do? Let's look at Romans 14 real quick. Let's say that there is somebody who just can't believe. I can't believe that God could heal me, or it's been this way too long, or whatever. Let's say there is somebody in that boat. What does Romans 14:1 say? Accept him whose faith is weak. Okay, here's the key: without passing judgment in disputable matters. Yeah, there's some things in the Word that are clear, incontrovertible truths that we can't compromise on. There's also a whole lot of the issues of life that aren't spelled out in black and white in every detail in this book. And we have principles here, sure, and there are examples in lives we can draw from, and that's good. But that's why this is not a rule book solely. We need it, and we need to know it, and we need to know about the people who are in it. But we also need the author of this book to walk with us daily and show us what to do and how, because my life is not exactly like any person's life in this book. I'm not called to the exact same calling in every way. Sure, there are similarities. There are principles that apply to everybody. But it's not a pattern. It's not something I can just say, God did this on this one occasion for this one person, therefore that should be that way for everybody at all times, and it's the only way. I can't say that about everything. I can say there's no way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. I can say that because the Word teaches that clearly. There's some things we can say like that, but we can't say everything about that. And that's where God give us the balance and give us the faith, grow our faith. If we are in that place where, you know what, I don't have faith for that right now. You know what, I'm fine leaving that in the Lord's hands. Lord, you can minister faith to that person. You can minister faith to me. And in the meantime, I'm not going to pressure people, condemn people, ask people, what's the matter with them? Why can't you get where I am? No, I'm going to leave that in the Lord's hands. And He can do whatever is needed to be done. And He will. Because He has promised to complete the work that He started in us, hasn't He? Praise God, He'll perform it all the way to the day of Jesus Christ. That's the day where the real purpose begins. All this is in preparation for that. So I tell you what, whatever it takes here, whatever it takes. You know, look at the people, I think the person was mentioned that they healed as they went into the temple. The blind man who had been blind for, you know, all of his life up to that point. What if somebody had come to him a day before that, said, man, what's the matter with you? If you pray, you'd have got healed by now. He lived with that all that time because there was a purpose coming where that was used to make a tremendous testimony at that place at that time. And that was the purpose of God, to use that to make known what He was doing in a way. We can't see the eternal purpose because we so much of the time, all we see is this life. How are things going here? How do I feel? It's all about this, but the kingdom of God's not about this. It's involved. It's important. God cares about it, and we need to be seeking Him about it. But that is the real purpose. That's the goal. And I believe that He can give us that perfect balance of faith and trust to say, Lord, you can do whatever and help me to know when I'm settling for less than what you paid for. If I'm through lack of faith, through experience, through repetition, because I've just been conditioned that way, anywhere I'm settling for less than what you have for me, show me that and give me that conviction. I want more. I want higher ground. But also give me the grace when you tell me, like you did Paul, and my life's not Paul's life, but there have been things before where God has had to tell me, my grace is sufficient for you in different areas. And we've all experienced that, where it's like, Lord, I don't want this to be this way. And God says, I'm working in this. It's going to be this way until the work is done. And He doesn't do that out of condemnation. It's love. And it's implied with His promise every time. Just what He told Paul, my grace is sufficient. Praise God. I appreciate it, Steve. We need that, and we need the Word, and we need faith. And I believe we do need to grow in our faith and be willing to step out on what God has given us. But we also need to recognize, Lord, you need to lead us every time. It is a trap of religion to try to make patterns out of things. Every time, everything must be one way, and it's a pattern, because people are not cookie cutter. People are tremendously varied individuals, and only God knows what it takes to work in a heart and a life. You know, just like that scripture talked about, God, these people went through things, but it was something better for somebody else. Or what about Peter? You know, what did he tell Peter when he knew he was about to deny the Lord? He said, when you're converted, when you get past this, strengthen your brothers. That wasn't a good thing Peter did, and the Lord had even told him, right? If you pray, you won't fall into temptation. Peter didn't listen to that, and he did, but that God is so great that his purpose could still be worked even through something bad by saying, now you're going to have a testimony to tell somebody else about this. People that have been through things, they have a testimony that other people don't have. And only God knows who he wants to send you to, who to send across your path. And only he knows what you need to go through. And it may not even be about you so much as preparing you to be what you need to be for them, to be able to relate to that and speak to that in a way that lends weight and credibility, especially for a non-believer. Well, it's easy for you to say because nothing ever goes wrong. When you can say, nuh-uh, I've been right where you are, there's some weight behind that. And God, you know, it's just, the whole point is this, we are living sacrifices, right? That's what the word says. Our job is to present our body as living sacrifices, and a sacrifice is something you kill. That takes a lot of different forms, but it is lay down our lives so that he can live in us, live through us, carry out his eternal purpose. And I believe he can give us that perfect balance and that perfect faith. And where we're settling for less, God, help us, give us faith. But at the same time, we can rest in the meantime and say, Father, I know you love me, I know you're with me, and I know your grace is sufficient. Praise God. Praise God for the balance of his word.
I know it's getting late. I just want to agree with what's been said with Ben and Steve. And the biggest thing I want to say is, let's don't be condemned. If you've moved in faith and you feel like maybe I moved this a little bit of this, there's no condemnation. If you're condemned, it's not from the Lord. And there is healing. And I've got this song here. Maybe you can drop the screen here, guys. I'd like for us to just to sing it. It's called Everybody Ought to Know. So can y'all drop this screen so everybody can see the words of visitors? I hope nobody else had anything, but if they do, feel free. Anybody in particular want to lead us off this? Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. He
yeah. I'm so glad that I know who Jesus is. I'm so glad that I know. I'm so glad that I know. I'm so glad that I know who Jesus is.
Amen. The lily of the valley is the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. You know, the greatest thing is not healing of the body, it's the healing of the soul. Salvation. When we get Christ in our heart, He takes care of just about everything we need. So as we leave here today, let's just remember He's the healer of our soul, the baptizer, the Holy Ghost Spirit. That's what we are when we're by ourselves and alone. And let's encourage those who've been here for prayer, those who ask for prayer. Let's be with them in prayer and encouragement. And not just those others that we know about. Because I tell you, if God's given me afflictions, and I've got a few, it's caused me to not want my, have to walk by myself, but to have help. I can't do physically what I used to do. I have to rely on people to help me. That's good. That's been good for me spiritually. And when I think about Kenny and what he's had to go through with this, having the one lung removed or worked on, and then another one to give out, and doing all he can to breathe, but he's still here with us. You know, we're all, I don't care what affliction we got, whether it's Alzheimer's, old timers, no matter what it is, we're going to be healed if we're the Lord's. Because when we turn our toes up, that's instant healing. And we're going to spend a life with eternity. I can't imagine what heaven is. I just can't imagine. It just escapes me to try to figure out what it is. But if it's without pain, with all the people we share in this earth with Christ, that's heaven enough. So let's just, as we go, anybody else got anything? I don't know. All right, go ahead. And I don't know who's next month.
Who's the
elder of the month?
No, it's
not. Okay, again. Okay. Come on, Reed.
I don't know if I didn't take too much time. I don't think you meant doing it.
I hesitate in one sense to get up because I believe the Lord has given us a clear answer. I just appreciate the Spirit this morning. I believe He really anointed Ben, if I'm honest, to and Steve to give us burden. This is my burden here. You know, we're a family, right? I know we got some visitors here. We're not trying to perform as a church as far as what the world expects it to look like. We're a family, right? And I guess my burden is honestly is for Jeff in Houston this morning. Where are you at? I appreciate you. That's my burden. That's why I'm up here, honestly, is I appreciate you. I said that when I shook your hand earlier. It was a brief statement that I appreciate you, and I do. And I know how this works. God gave them a burden to say something this morning, Jeff in the men's meeting, and it's Houston, right? And I appreciate the boldness and the confidence to give out your conviction. And I'm not necessarily... We're so easy to throw people... and things and ideas and doctrines and beliefs, either eternally or at the moment, into a box and then set it there. Does that make sense? So I believe God gave you burden. I think this body does need a little bit of a wake-up call towards the power of God in prayer and healing. Does that make sense? This entire service and conversation wouldn't have taken place had you not given your burden out. I guess that's the way. Does that make sense? Who likes awkward situations? I hate them. I hate confrontation. I really do. If anybody, I will procrastinate and avoid it with every fiber of my soul. However, we also know, hey, this is the scripture I had, and it even pertains to this aspect of the situation, Romans 5. And it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, we glory in tribulations, knowing that it works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. This is a process where human beings, like I said, I know what's one of the descriptions of Satan? He's an accuser of the brethren, right? He accuses us before the Lord day and night. I just know how the enemy works on both sides. You give out your burden. God says you're great, and he builds your faith up. Sometimes, yeah, nah, not so much. And I know how our emotions, and I just want to say I appreciate you and your family and how, I don't know. I felt a need to say that, is that I love you. Is that I know that sometimes even when you say something, what about Paul and Peter? They had no light disputation, right? No light one, it says. And that went pretty, I don't know. I don't want to mud the service because I believe there was a greater message here to build our faith. But I do believe that was delivered to the body. We need some revelation and some light on how the power of God, and not to be ashamed or not expecting it to see work, but also that we're all like this. We tend to kind of, revelation, and then we end up jumping, overshooting it into a ditch. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that happened. I just know how we all are. And I believe that there is a balance that God brings to it when we try to overshoot things, because it is our heart, our nature. When a child of God sees a revelation to go towards it, and it's just our human nature sometimes in both ways to go to both sides of the ditch. I appreciate how God brings it back. That we want to be in the center of his will, right? That's the road in between the two ditches. And so anyhow, I feel I need to say that. I just appreciate y'all. I love y'all. And I know it can be, I don't know. I'm going to shut up. I love y'all.